Well, night three of this season's UEFA Champions League was a cracker. Lionel Messi is up and running as a Paris Saint-Germain player.
He might cut in field and go alone. He's got the ball back. Messi! Leo Messi with a sweet left-footed shot from outside the area scores his first goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Messi has arrived in Paris.
Manchester City beaten in the French capital. Real Madrid were shocked at home by Sheriff. The champions of Moldova now have two wins from two in their debut season in the competition. Extraordinary stuff. Liverpool, Ajax and Dortmund also move on to 6 points. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott. We're going to look back on a quite brilliant evening of UEFA Champions League action. I'm joined by commentators Richard Kaufman and Dan O'Hagan. We've also got the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, with us as well. One place to start, though, Jenna. That moment from Lionel Messi lit up the whole evening, really.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, you felt it was coming. He was growing into the match, and it was the perfect stage for him to get his first goal. And it was a fantastic goal and fantastic movement from Mbappe as well, to just a little layoff, and it was a great strike. It was definitely coming, and it's the perfect stage for Messi's first goal for Paris Saint-Germain.
You could see what it meant to him as well as he ran off to celebrate, a goal scorer in this competition yet again, but in different colours now, of course, with Paris Saint-Germain. We have a tradition, three-word match reports. Richard Kaufman was watching Paris against Manchester City. I was going to be cheeky and ask you to do one without Lionel Messi's name in it, but I think that would be unfair. I mean,
he's the headliner, isn't he? So Messi's magic moment would be my three-word review. Although, given what's happened to Real Madrid as well, you know, I've had a Bob Marley-inspired moment as well. Shock the sheriff.
Like that.
Yeah. Kind of worked.
No, I'm happy with that. I couldn't come up with anything better. We'll get on to that result, because that was quite unbelievable for Sheriff. Dan O'Hagan was watching Porto against Liverpool. Can you sum that up? I mean, that was a great game in three words.
It was a 5-1 win, simply rampant Reds rout.
Nice. The alliteration always wins through when it comes to me.
It certainly does.
Okay, so these are Tuesday's results in match day two in Group A. Paris 2, Manchester City 0. Leipzig 1, Club Brugge 2. Group B, Dan was watching Porto 1, Liverpool 5. Milan 1, Atletico 2. Group C, Ajax 2, Besiktas 0 in one of the early games. And Dortmund 1, Sporting 0. And in Group D, Shakhtar 0, Inter 0, the other early kickoff. And Real Madrid 1, Sheriff 2. Still can't quite believe I'm saying that, but it is true. Sheriff of Moldova have beaten Real Madrid by 2-1. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll get through all eight matches too, but we have to start with the heavyweight clash at the Parc des Princes as Paris Saint-Germain took on Manchester City, a repeat of last season's semi-final. This one was watched by Jenna and Richard.
Back to Mbappe, inside the penalty area, right-hand side, pulls it back, Neymar doesn't get the shot away, Gay does and scores! Idrissa Gay, sent off last season in the semi-final when these two teams met, but he's made amends a little bit here with the opening goal inside 8 minutes.
Make no mistake, he smashes it into the top corner, the goalkeeper doesn't stand a chance.
De Bruyne flicks it in, Sterling off the bar, followed up by Mari! Oh, Bernardo Silva, how has that not gone in? That was an incredible moment. Flicked into the air as Sterling somehow didn't score. And then it was Bernardo Silva on the follow-up, and somehow he didn't score either. He's found Messi, who's stretching his legs over the halfway line. Messi's got Hakimi in support. He might cut in field and go alone. He's got the ball back. Messi! Leo Messi with a sweet left-footed shot from outside the area scores his first goal for Paris Saint-Germain. And what a beautiful goal it is! Messi has arrived in Paris. Paris Saint-Germain 2, Manchester City 0.
So on his fourth appearance for the club, Leo Messi gets his first goal for Paris Saint-Germain, and it was a beautiful strike. And Richard, I heard in your commentary that one amazing chance of Manchester City aside, do you think Pep Guardiola will have too many complaints about the fact that his team were beaten in the end?
No, I think the better team won. I think it's just little moments, because I think Manchester City in various parts of the game actually played well. I mean, the start of the second half, we were talking about how they were on top and they were creating opportunities. One or two of their players maybe didn't produce their best. It wasn't a night to remember, for example, for Jack Grealish on probably what's been his biggest stage so far playing for a club team. Of course, he did score against RB Leipzig a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, this was a big stage against Paris Saint-Germain. But, I mean, let's give all the credit to Pochettino and his team, because, you know, we are going to talk a lot about Messi. He will make the headlines, but I felt nearly everyone, I can't really think of a poor performance from the home team players tonight. So it was a real terrific team effort, and also the tactics from the head coach in Pochettino also came out a treat too. So, you know, they deserve all the plaudits they're going to get. It's only the group stages, but it's a statement result nonetheless.
Yeah, I think obviously all eyes are on this fixture and the PSG front line. I think that was a real team performance. It wasn't just the attacking three. It was every single player needed to have a big game tonight. And Paris Saint-Germain, every player stepped up. And I think going forward, they look a lot more dangerous. They were obviously more clinical. And I think Man City, you know, they had a lot of the ball, but they didn't really convert anything. It was the final pass, the final shot. It just wasn't connecting tonight. So I think I agree the best team won.
We saw a lot of Kylian Mbappe and Leo Messi combining, not just for Messi's goal, which we heard there, but throughout the whole evening, they seemed to be absolutely on the same wavelength.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Messi's goal, for example, it's Mbappe's run that creates the space. They're on par with each other. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And it was a lovely little layoff and, as you say, a fantastic finish from Messi.
I'm just watching it back, Richard, as we speak. And the It seems like relief around the Parc des Princes in a way. Just, you know, he's got his first goal now. Now we can just enjoy this brilliant, brilliant player. Because even though it's only four matches into his career, because it's Leo Messi, right? There was a tiny bit of pressure, perhaps not internally building, but externally probably. And this just quietens all that down.
No, I think he will be relieved as well, because, you know, listen, this is no one needs to say anything about Messi. You know, we know what he's achieved, but this was maybe a little out of that comfort zone that he's been in for so many years, wearing the shirt of Barcelona. Now he's playing for Paris Saint-Germain, and, you know, it could have been a tap in from 2 yards, or it could have been the fantastic goal that we witnessed tonight. There's relief that he has got it. And I tell you what, not just for Messi, I think for everybody. Pochettino's been having to face, you know, negative question after negative question for the team as well. You know, there's all this talk about, you know, the egos and who's the number one around town here now that Messi's arrived. But they played as a team. They've got a team result, and now they can, you know, they've got 4 points from two matches in the groups. They're, what is it, 8 points clear at the top of Ligue 1. Not saying they're going to relax, but as you kind of pointed out there, I think maybe they can enjoy their football over the next few weeks now, rather than having questions asked about every single step they take.
Jenna, as a former player, because so much of the media and fans and on social media talk about these things, do you think in that dressing room, do you think they were bothered, actually? Or if you can take us into the mind of players, do they analyse it differently to the way the rest of us do?
I think they do. I think you only have to look at the celebration there to see that they're together. That team's together. They're all celebrating together. And I think after a match, players are frustrated with each other. It happens every day on the training pitch. Yeah. Like when I was playing, you'd get really frustrated on the pitch and you'd have it out there and then. But the next time you're at training, you forget about it. It's not as big as it's all made out. And I think today's kind of prove that, because I think if you were to look into everything that was written and said, you would think, oh, there might be a bit of trouble in the camp. But for me, I didn't see that today.
Yeah, and because I'm just thinking, at work we all have arguments with work colleagues, right? And it's just that when it happens on a football pitch,
no, we don't. What are you talking about,
Richard? Be honest. but you know what I mean. And we pick up on every minutiae now of what happens is, you know, either on film or on radio, and then of course everyone talks about it. But that certainly is, as you guys were describing it, felt like a very, very cohesive performance from Mauricio Pochettino's team.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I was always encouraged as a player, you sit down and probably not after the match because tempers are still high, but you go back in and you analyse everything and you discuss and you talk it out, and that's how you come together from it. So I think you shouldn't read too much into everything that's written and what you see there and then. It's just frustrated, and it's because they care.
Absolutely. So Paris winners then in Group A. Elsewhere, Leipzig 1, Club Brugge 2. Christopher Nkunku opened the scoring, but Brugge came absolutely flying back. Hans van Aken equalised in the 22nd minute, and then the winner came on half-time by Mats Ritz. Leipzig threw everything at the Belgium champions in the second half, but they move on to 4 points, the same as Paris. And poor old Christopher Nkunku, he now has 4 goals in this season's group stage, and he and his team Leipzig have not picked up a single point. So it's Club Brugge and Paris Saint-Germain who lead the way after 2 matches in this section. Richard, because I don't want to argue with you, given what you just said, you get to choose where we go next, because, I mean, we had everything on this Champions League Tuesday.
Well, we did, but it's fair to say there's a new sheriff in town, isn't there? I think we should go off to the Santiago Bernabeu.
He's absolutely desperate for the full-time whistle. And there it goes. A famous, famous night at the Bernabeu. Sheriff have beaten the 13-time winners Real Madrid. They can barely believe it.
Well, I think, Chris, it's fair to say, and I think you mentioned it, it's got to be one of the big upsets in the group stages of the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, it feels like that. I think Real Madrid have played more than 450 games. In the competition. This was Sheriff's second. And to go there and to win, they scored 2 brilliant goals, Richard. The first, a fine, fine header from Yaxi Boyev in the first half. Great cross from Cristiano. Not the Cristiano Ronaldo who used to grace the Bernabeu, but one of their foreign stars who has 3 assists now in 2 games. Karim Benzema got an equaliser after 65 minutes. And then in the 91st minute, Sebastian Till, from the edge of the box, produced an absolute rocket on his left foot on the half volley to score into the top corner. And this for Sheriff, the champions of Moldova so often recently, but in their group stage debut to win 2-1. Am I right in saying, Richard, that last season you commentated on Shakhtar's win away at Real Madrid when they had basically half a team out due to COVID? This, for me anyway, feels like a match of similar seismic proportions.
Well, I would think it's bigger, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Sheriff Tiraspol, I mean, they're from Moldova. Obviously, you know, they're in the UEFA Champions League and are there of right, but they're now top of the group, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, you can only imagine what's going to be in the newspapers of La Marca and IS come tomorrow morning or on the internet tonight. I mean, they're going to have a field day, aren't they? I mean, it's incredible what's been going on in Spain with Barcelona, and now this for Real Madrid, incredible.
The Sheriff goalkeeper was the official player of the match. Till becoming the first ever player from Luxembourg to score a goal in the UEFA Champions League. Watch it on UEFA.com or the official app, because it is absolutely exceptional. Jenna, were you ever involved in a shock scoreline? Either way, winning or losing, because this feels like a momentous result.
I mean, it's obviously massive for Sheriff, and it sounds like an absolute worldy goal was the difference. But in terms of my career, I was never on the end of too many shock ones, to be fair. Not as big as that.
Now, see, I was hoping you were going to say, I didn't want to remind you of a horrible result. I was wondering if you think, yeah, one time we went, I don't know, somewhere. But, I mean, that is one of the great scorelines in recent history in the UEFA Champions League. Elsewhere in Group D, earlier it finished Shakhtar 0, Inter 0 in a match where Lassina Traore picked up a nasty leg injury. We hope he is OK. Nicola Barella hit the bar. Edin Dzeko missed. Milan Skriniar came up with a big block, and then right at the end, Andrei Pyatov produced a wonderful double save to ensure that it did finish 0-0. And we can hear from the Shakhtar camp now, and Maina Solomon.
I can't say that we were happy with the result. We wanted to win today. We arrived to win. Of course, Inter are the champions of Italy, and they are a really, really strong team. But I think that through long all the match we dominated, and we wanted to win this game. But 1 point against Inter is not so bad, and we continue forward.
So the first points for Shakhtar and Inter. But in this section, with Shakhtar, with Inter and with Real Madrid, it is Sheriff who lead the way. Who would have predicted that 2 weeks ago ahead of match day one? OK, on to Group B now. Liverpool were fearsome in Portugal. They absolutely hammered Porto, the six-time winners Liverpool, putting on a real show, which was watched by Dan O'Hagan.
Curtis Jones attacks the penalty area, got the shot away as well, pushed away, and there's Salah to tap home. Inside the penalty area, the ball broke Salah's way, the kind of chance he was never going to refuse. It's a tap-in, and Liverpool scored the game's first goal on 18 minutes away to Porto. Milner's ball in, oh, and there's a tap-in for number two from Sadio Mane. Well, the ball played across the penalty area, and Mane, we know, loves playing here, scored four goals across his last two visits, and no surprise, he's the man to make it two here for Liverpool from close range. Attacks the penalty area now, he's got support as well, in lots of space here, it's Mo Salah to make it 3-0. On the right-hand side, Salah had the freedom of the penalty area, as Jones makes the goal for the Egyptian. Fabio Vieira for Porto edge of the penalty area, has to twist and turn. The cross has promise, and a goal back for Porto, a diving header from close range. It's Mehdi Taremi to get the goal back for the home team. It's Porto 1, Liverpool 3. Well, the goalkeeper's come a long way here. It's Firmino, the goalie's open, can he find the net? Goalkeeper scoops it away, and the ball, I think, had crossed the line. Porto 1, Liverpool 4. In by Robertson, that free kick from the left-hand side towards the head of Matip, back in there by Joseph Flexion. Roberto Firmino to make it 5. Well, the flag is up for now. Will, of course, be checked by VAR. And the goal stands. And Liverpool now, for their second visit here in three attempts, have hit five goals. Porto 1, Liverpool 5.
Dan joins myself, Chris Parrott now. Was it as comfortable as it sounded?
Yes, it was. Liverpool in that game were just fearsome. Every time they came forward, there were goals in them. I'd like to speak about the midfield too, because Curtis Jones had a big hand in three or four of the goals, driving on from midfield. Only 20 years of age, and I think a display from him to really show his ever-growing maturity too. But the attackers we know for Liverpool, Mane and Salah, Jota, when they bring on Firmino too, that team, when they hit their groove, when they click, as you saw tonight, they're really hard to stop and contain.
Well, it was Jordan Henderson's 400th appearance for the club, and it was one to remember.
Well, it's definitely not job done. There's another four games to play, and it is a very difficult group. But we've had two good, very good performances against Milan and now Porto. We've applied ourselves very well, put on good performances and got the results that we deserved. So, yeah, we'll be a little bit disappointed to concede. But at the same time, I thought overall performance was very good. We scored some brilliant goals. So we've got to be pleased, because it's a difficult place to come.
Well, he was able to come off, Dan. They took Mane, Jota and Salah off as well. I mean, in terms of preparation for the weekend and keeping your stars absolutely match fit, that's pretty much perfect for Jurgen Klopp, isn't it?
Yeah, they couldn't have planned a better trip, really, because they got the goals, they got the win, 6 points now from their first two matches. And as you say, they could take players off, rest and rotate and keep players fresh. As far as starts of the group go, you know, a tough group on paper. There's four really good teams in it, but 6 points from two games in the driving seat now.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they've got eight goals already. And again, we're seeing signs of Liverpool. You know, when I think 2-3 years ago, particularly in this competition, they did just blow sides away. Are we seeing that again from Liverpool at the start of this season? Not just in this competition, but in the English Premier League as well?
I think so, yeah. They look hungry, don't they? I think last season hurt. You know, the defence of the title was not successful. Champions League campaign wasn't as they hoped either. So I think you look at this Liverpool start, Jurgen Klopp, he's been there a long time now. Maybe the team feel they owe him after last season's shortcomings. And yeah, they've begun this season so impressively. And to go away from home and score five goals at Porto, that's no mean feat. And today it was five. It could have been many more.
James Milner got an assist. He was picked to replace Trent Alexander-Arnold. And he now is level with Steven Gerrard in terms of assists for Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League. He is another golden oldie who just seems to carry on season after season. So Liverpool on to 6 points in Group B. The other match in this section was another absolute thriller at Stadio San Siro. It finished 2-1 to Atletico, thanks to a goal in the 96th minute from Luis Suarez from the penalty spot after a handball against Fikayo Tomori. Rafael Leao had given Milan the lead after 20 minutes on their first home match back in the competition for 7 years. Then Frank Kessier got sent off. They held on and held on, Milan, until the 84th minute when Antoine Griezmann scored a fine equaliser, and then Suarez won it. And this, Dan, you talked about how tight this section is. That difference between 1 and 3 points for Atletico and 1 and 0 points for Milan could be really huge when it comes to the end of match day six.
Oh, completely. And the drama in that game, I was watching it on my TV here, the end of that match in Milan, and the drama of the wait for the VAR call to give that penalty. You know, my heart was in my mouth. I'd not even watched the whole game.
Yeah.
So real drama to finish that game. And yes, you say Milan to lose that game in that manner. You know, Liverpool and Atletico now, the team's very much in pole position in Group B to qualify.
Yeah, and of course they meet back-to-back games now next on match day three and match day for 10 minutes of added on time we had at Stadio San Siro. It was a remarkable end. I seem to be saying that a lot this evening, but it has been a brilliant night of Champions League football. We'll carry on now to Amsterdam, to the Johan Cruyff Arena. Our early featured commentary saw Ajax host Besiktas.
Batshuayi in a good position has hit the inside of the post. Oh, he was well found in there by Karaman and struck it across Pasveer. And here is Tadic now over on the far side, the left for Ajax. Cutting in, finding a gap. He's into the box now and still going. Sets up Berghuis, who scores. The two creative players combining for Ajax quite delightfully. And Berghuis, who'd missed 60 seconds previously, did not need asking again. He thumped it home.
It's all about the cleverness of Dusan Tadic, because he knows once he's in the box, he is the master of that situation.
It's the driven ball in. Oh, it's taken down by Allaire, who's away from his man. Crosses, oh! And Tadic misses what was effectively an open goal. Anthony to Berghuis, one-on-one with the defender. Berghuis will curl it in. Allaire's two! Came off Allaire's thigh, I think, but it doesn't matter. In a game and a half in his Champions League career, he's now got 5 goals. And Ajax are 2 up before half-time against Besiktas, and you cannot deny that it was coming, and it has come from Sebastian Allaire. Ajax 2-0 Besiktas.
It was an electric atmosphere in Amsterdam, enjoyed by, as you heard, the European football expert Kevin Hatchard and match commentator Richard Connolly, who gave me their thoughts at full-time.
I think beforehand, some of the Besiktas supporters, given the nature of their depleted squad, would have been fearful that the end result could have been worse than this. But the players that were brought in, some of them were in unfamiliar positions, coped pretty well, given the onslaught that Ajax did present them with. And the first half, it was a litany of Ajax chances. They had 2/3 of the ball during the course of the entire match, 23 attempts, 7 of which were on target. Besiktas, that said, did have a presentable moment right at the beginning when Batshuayi struck the inside of the post. That's the early turning point. From that moment on, it did seem like Ajax would go on and win the game. And they won it in the second half without really getting out of second gear. It was very comfortable. The first half was the treat. There were some delightful skills from Dusan Tadic, I think, in particular down the left. Berghuis, too, with a goal and an assist, provided plenty. And Ajax were a cut above. It's Besiktas's sadness, really, that they couldn't put a full side out to really test Ajax this evening. As it was comfortable in the end.
And we must say, Kevin, the atmosphere at the Johan Cruyff Arena, they are still bouncing now. Absolutely electric for the 90 minutes. And, I mean, great celebrations at full-time from the Ajax players. And just again, how much we missed this type of scene in the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, it was tremendous, Chris, to see the fans back in those numbers, to see them generate that kind of atmosphere. But that actually makes Besiktas' performance all the more impressive, because it would have been so easy for a depleted team like them to wilt under that pressure. You know, it's quite a sight in the Johan Cruyff Arena to come out and to deal with that pressure. Some of these guys, very inexperienced, very young. I thought they held together as a unit. So I think both teams will take massive positives from this going forward. Ajax, as Richard said, cruised through in second gear in that second half, but they were excellent in that first period.
Ajax onto 6 points then after the second straight win for them, and their head coach Erik ten Hag was a happy man at full time.
Yeah, fantastic Ajax. We dominate the game from the start, although they had their first chance, but after it, it was only Ajax who played in opponent's half and create many chances and score two fantastic goals. And we could take more initiative from the back and be more thought in consolidation. And yeah, that is what we finally achieved. But I think we could score one or two goals more. But finally, 2-0 is a fantastic result.
Another side with two wins from two in Group C is Borussia Dortmund. Donja Marlen's first goal for the club saw them beat Sporting by 1-0 in Germany. A terrific Tuesday then. It's been a really good start to match day two, and we're back on Wednesday with 8 more big matches.
Our early commentary on Wednesday comes from Italy. Expect goals as Atalanta host Young Boys.
Arancuk, Gussens, steered into the corner. Atalanta with an equaliser.
They're in to win it. Young Boys have won it. A mistake punished, but absolute jubilation around the Stadion Vangel.
Both teams love to attack, and after shocking Manchester United 2 weeks ago, Young Boys are eyeing another upset. Kickoff is at 18:45 CEST, and we'll also have regular updates from the other early match as Zenit host Malmo. Both lost on match day one. Then from 9 p.m. CEST, it's back to Group F. Manchester United are looking for revenge.
And it's been saved. Rulli with that save has presented Villarreal with their first European title.
It's only 4 months since Unai Emery's side beat United on penalties to lift the UEFA Europa League. They head to Old Trafford on 1 point. United are yet to get off the mark after that late winner for Young Boys in Bern. We'll have full commentary of United against Villarreal right here on the show, and we'll have the goals as they go in from the other 5 late games.
Alphonso Davies, who lets fly, deflected. Musiala off the post, stabbed in on the rebound. And it's Robert Lewandowski. Who else? Who strikes for FC Bayern?
Robert Lewandowski is already up and running this season. Bayern host Dinamo Kiev on Wednesday, whilst it's Benfica against Barcelona in the same section. Meanwhile, defending champions Chelsea face a daunting trip to Turin.
That's Azpilicueta. That's Lukaku! Oh, that's a glorious goal!
The captain steps up and he goes straight down the middle and scores. 2-0 to Juventus, who are enjoying opening night.
Juventus will be a real test for Thomas Tuchel's team. Elsewhere, Wolfsburg meets Sevilla and it's Salzburg against Lille. Match Day Live will be on air from 6 p.m. CEST on Wednesday. Join us for night 4 of this season's competition.
Wayne Boyce reporting there. It should be another fine evening. Okay, let's go back to everyone who's on the show for a bit of a roundtable discussion. We want moments of the night. Now, I'll start with you, Dan, who was watching Liverpool's impressive thumping of Porto.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious choice there is to pick out someone like Mane or Salah. But I think Curtis Jones for me tonight was Liverpool's best player. Great display, 20 years of age, but a mature, growing player. Only 7th game in the competition tonight, but at times really ran the whole midfield show today for Liverpool.
Yeah, it looks very, very impressive. Dan, thank you very much. Jenna Scalacci, your moment of the evening. I wonder what this might be.
Oh, it might surprise you.
Go on.
No, I'll leave that one for... I'm going with Nuno Mendes. I thought for his Champions League debut, such a young player, I thought he was absolutely solid, made some goal-saving clearances and blocks. So I'm giving my moment to him.
And obviously my moment of the match was Idrissa Gueye. No, of course it was Messi's second goal for Paris Saint-Germain tonight.
Yeah, brilliant from them. Not good for Pep Guardiola, though, who wasn't happy.
Especially the second half, we have many, like Donnarumma made good saves, but the team was there, the same like in Stamford Bridge, and the team is alive, so yeah, it's a pity because we played to win, we played to be there, but unfortunately they don't need much to score goals, and they did it.
Well, thank you very much for listening. It's been a great Champions League Tuesday, and Wednesday promises to be a bit of a classic as well. Remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is a very good night.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.